Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Finding great joy in great tribulation. A lot of people laugh at that idea. How could anybody find great joy in great tribulation? I'll tell you this. John the Baptist said it most simply and most explicitly. He must increase, but I must decrease. There it is right there. And that's what's wrong with the purpose-driven church, too. He must increase, but I must decrease. We've been born again. We have the Spirit of God in us. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. We're a new creature. But there's a battle going on. He must increase, and I must decrease. See, that's what's wrong with the purpose-driven church, whose purpose is self-idolatry. He must increase. Jesus Christ never did anything or never said anything. He never said one word that was not what the Father had given him to say and saying it by the Holy Ghost. He never did one thing that was not given him to do by the Father and empowered to do it perfectly by the Holy Ghost. So how do you find great joy in great tribulation? John Baptist, he really nailed it. He nailed it as simple and explicitly as you can. He must increase, but I must decrease. If, and it's a big if, but if we renounce ourselves, then we will know unspeakable joy. Always turn to Jesus Christ, asking Him for His help that makes everything easy. What? Yeah. If we would really turn to Him and ask Him for His help, that makes everything easy. I'll testify to you that Philippians 4:13 is true. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yes, I can. And when I think I can't, it really means I won't. See, we miss it. We don't need great skill. We don't need great learning or training to approach God. Now, there's a lot of people out there claiming to preach the gospel, and they're not preaching that, but I think you know it. No, we don't need any great skill or learning or training to approach God. We need to know and communicate with Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need to know and communicate with Yeshua. We need no other learning than what is in the God-promised and only Holy Bible in plain English, the authorized version, the KJV Holy Bible. You know I like to call it the King Jesus Version, even though I love to say Alleluia Yeshua. I think I could say Alleluia Yeshua all day long. It seems like my mouth was made for saying that. But Jesus is a wonderful and powerful name, and don't ever put up with any idiot that says otherwise. He's an idiot. The devils know. And Yeshua is a wonderful and powerful name too. We simply need a heart that is totally set and determined to be devoted exclusively to Him. That's what we need. Exclusively to Him. And loving Him only above all others, including ourselves. That's what we need. And that's where the problem is. We should know his presence. The real joy that comes from spending time with him. We all need to renew our minds and receive the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. In his presence is fullness of joy. And that's what we ought to learn to do. We should learn to practice his presence. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Accept the joy that comes from spending time with him. There's joy there, spending time with him. Renew your faith. It's terrible that we have so little faith. It's not God's fault. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. A renewed mind will conclude some important things. It will know how wise that it is to give ourselves completely to God. That's wise. That's smart. What could be more intelligent than to completely abandon ourselves to him? If we would just think about it, what could be more smart than doing that? To completely abandon ourselves to him. And I'm sure we've probably all experienced the joy that is found in doing his will. There's joy there. To do what you know is his will, there's joy found there. And that joy is available regardless of our circumstances, no matter how bad those circumstances may be, that joy is available. And some of us might even have experienced the joy in his fellowship in suffering. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Now, those people that have been there, and I think the most classic example of this that I ever got to know, and I thank God that I was able to meet and even speak with Richard Wurmbrand on two occasions. What a great saint. What a great man of God. The communists put him in solitary confinement. And if any of you have been in prison, that's how they discipline prisoners, that they put him in solitary. Well, they put Richard Wurmbrand like in a coffin, in a cell that was so small he couldn't stand up straight. He was a tall man, and he couldn't stand up straight. 14 years. 14 years. They put him in a box that he couldn't even stand up straight in. 14 years. You know, this man testified that those were the best 14 years of his life because of the intimacy of the fellowship of his suffering that he had. That was his testimony. He knew from experience that suffering and joy are synonymous to somebody that is really fully yielded to God. Yeah, it's easy to praise God when things are going well. However, it's even more important, and don't let this slip. If you don't hear anything else I say, listen to this. It's more important that we be faithful to praise him in times of weakness and difficulty and pain and suffering. It's more important to praise him then, when God is allowing our love for him to be tested. It's more important then. I mean, he's worthy to be praised all the time. But if we're suffering, it's more important to praise him then. And yeah, that's the way of finding great joy in great tribulation. When we keep our focus on God in everything we do, make it a high priority to praise him and communicate with him continuously. Like in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice evermore. That's a command of God. Rejoice evermore. That's all the time. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? It's not that hard. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to be disciples, disciplined ones. It takes discipline to make everything we do, no exception, into a form of communication with God. Not in some silly, unreal, false spiritual way, but in pure, simple, practical reality. And it takes discipline to do that. But aren't we supposed to be disciples? We should be deliberate in making a quick check with the Lord if that is what he wants us to do and the way that he wants us to go. We should seek to discipline ourselves to be less impulsive, less hurried, and not easily distracted. And that takes discipline. We want his way of peace and righteousness and deliberateness and not passivity. Don't miss this. No, you don't want to be some meditating monk. No, no, no. Not passivity. Always active in seeking his ways and his will. And it takes discipline to live like we know that God is always with us. He's with us. We've been born again. He's with us. Do we act like we know he's with us? If we did, we wouldn't force him to look at pornography, would we? It's really not that difficult, but it takes discipline. It takes discipline to live like we know that God is always with us in our innermost being. Have we not been born again? Do we perhaps need to be born again to begin to be disciplined to live as though we know that by his Spirit Christ liveth in me? It takes discipline to often just stop whenever we're doing and whatever we're doing to thank him. It takes discipline to praise him. It doesn't take a lot of time, but it takes discipline to ask for his help. And it doesn't have to take much time. And it certainly should lead away from passivity to more abundant life. That's what we're supposed to have, abundant life. That doesn't mean passivity. And it doesn't need to take much time. And most certainly, it should not lead to passivity, to practice the presence of God and to be more intimate with him. I mean, these are commands of God, the God of abundant life, to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, in everything to give thanks. God said so, and therefore we should know that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning all of us. We are to have abundant life doing acts of love and things that glorify the Father in the name of Messiah, in the name of Jesus. And this continual awareness of God with us should lead us to praise, and it should lead us to quick godly sorrow, working repentance, and it should lead us to thanksgiving and a more abundant life in his power and for his glory. It takes discipline to have no other will but His will. It takes discipline to check with Him quickly before we act or speak. And if you're still with me, there are people, and they hear this, and it is not what they want to hear. Because this gets close to home, doesn't it? But it takes discipline. But I know, if you're still here, that you've found the way to joy that comes from confessing our faults. You've found it. You know what I'm talking about. The joy that comes from confessing our faults and admitting our weakness and genuinely and simply humbling ourselves to God only, not to some other people. No. This is just between you and Him. He's the lover of our soul. But you know what I'm talking about. There is joy that comes from just confessing our weakness and just really genuinely and simply humbling ourselves to God. There's always joy found when we stand in the truth of our unworthiness before God. Just as a poor and inadequate person, and we are truly before such an almighty, holy, awesome God. There's joy there. And we joy in that situation to know that God so loved the world, including you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It takes discipline to pay attention to the presence of God, but in His presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Especially in great tribulation. There may not be any other strength available, but His grace is sufficient. But in His presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, especially in great tribulation. Yes, there is great joy in great tribulation. If we would just discipline ourselves to find it. Be quick to confess our sins to God, and not some priest or any other mediator or friend, but Jesus. Ask for His forgiveness. And that's the forgiveness that really counts. Invite Him to be more fully God in our life. That He would increase and I would decrease. Isn't it simple? That's really where it's at. And see, this is exactly 180 degrees opposite of what the church growth movement and the purpose-driven church are doing. And I think that we need to stop being so fearful of suffering. I think we really need to understand this. That we need to stop being so fearful of suffering. We should discipline ourselves to be ready to suffer. And be even more ready to know the fellowship of His suffering. Ask Him to give us that strength to endure that we may be in doubt that we have. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God said so. It's true. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. The continual walk and talk with God is abundant life. But it takes discipline. Do we really trust God as we should? Do we really know that He is with us and that He is watching out for us? Have we learned the fear of God and found the freedom from the fear of man? It takes discipline and determination. But in doing that, there is found great joy. Yes, even in great tribulation. And it does not take time. No, it doesn't. I'm not talking about being some meditating monk. No, I'm not. It does not take time. It takes discipline and practice to quickly check with the Lord in everything we say or do. It does not take long prayers. It takes instant prayer. That's what it takes. It doesn't take long prayer. It takes instant prayer. Even when you feel that you have just got to go as fast as you can, then that instant prayer shows the way of more than what you thought possible. I want to give you a profound secret. And this is a secret I would dare say that well over 90% of people claim to be Christians. But God likes short prayers with heart, truth, and from our spirit to His spirit. God likes short prayers. It's a profound truth. And it's a secret to most people, even though the scriptures reveal this. Jesus said, Matthew 6, we just covered this. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. What does that tell us? John 4, when he was with the woman at the well. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Work is a blessing. Yeah, work is a blessing. The curse didn't come upon this earth before Adam had good work to do. Work is a blessing. And work is even a wonderful form of prayer when we do it faithfully. And bring our minds back to the Lord whenever we might be distracted. John 9:41. I must work. I must work. Do you hear what Jesus said? I must work the works of him that sent me. While it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, whatsoever, what's included in there? And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You see, those quick, short little conversations with the Holy Ghost. It's right in you. Go to the throne in the name of Jesus. And they're like a sweet savor in heaven. They're like incense in heaven. Those quick conversations and quick checks with the Lord should lead, and they will lead. I promise you this. They will lead to increased productivity. You're going to get more done. And they're not going to lead to passivity. We are to have more abundant life. And we should hate passivity for the devil's occasion that it is. Idleness is the devil's workshop. If you're unemployed, find something that you can do for somebody without pay freely in the name of the Lord. And you'll be better off for doing that. Get more disciplined at quickly checking with the Lord. If you do not need to check with him about something, then thank him and praise him. I mean, if you're doing something, you know what you're doing. That's it. Always, you know, we ought to be like a little two-year-old. Just chattering in our spirit, in our mind, in our soul, in our spirit. Just chattering all the time. Talk, 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 talk. You know. I mean, how much time does it take? Thank you, Jesus. I hate this job, but I'm doing it for you. Would you help me not to hate it so bad? He likes that kind of prayer. That's powerful prayer. How long do you think Nehemiah had to pray when the king said, "Hey, you're my cupbearer. I haven't seen you ever with a sad face. You know, it's dangerous for a king to see a sad face on his cupbearer. What are you up to?" How long did he have to pray to give a good answer to the king? That's a serious situation. A wrong answer there, he could have been dead. But we need to get more disciplined. It's a matter of discipline. We are to have more abundant life, and we ought to hate passivity. And we need to get more disciplined at quickly checking with the Lord. And we can always praise Him. I mean, if we're doing what we know we're supposed to be doing, we can always praise Him. But that's the thing, see, to seek after this continual communication with Emmanuel. Is His Holy Spirit not tabernacling with us? And it does not take much time. And it's only going to lead to more productivity. And not only that, but more joy to be continually talking with Him. I want to give you another truth. Our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words. Our thoughts speak louder in heaven than our words. And you can keep the devil out of the communication loop. Be disciplined to be aware of God's presence. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And yes, it's not only possible, but what I like to call the normal life of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, to find great joy in great tribulation. Think of Him instantly, more often, until we can rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for we know this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. And being disciplined in that will cause us to find great joy in great tribulation. And yeah, if you want to laugh about it, go ahead. You ought to know better, though. Praise the Lord Jesus.